there was much similarity. Now, you know the way the Bible was written. God used his truth expressed through various authors, but always his truth. And you would sometimes see the flavor of different characters and different people. But the truth came through clearly in each passage from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. I will read these through fairly quickly. If you don't want to turn, that's fine. I'm going to read Matthew 26, 26 to 29. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And Mark chapter 14 sounds much the same. Again, these apostles had shared the table with our Lord. Mark chapter 14, verse 22 says, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" And then in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20. He took the cup, verse 17, and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's take those three Gospels as an introduction. We're going to turn to John chapter 13. But before we do, I'd like to pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity we have once again to stand in this pulpit. Lord, we pray for our pastor and Connie as they're away. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be here among us right now, opening hearts to your word, the truth that we're about to share. Lord, we thank you for this memorial of the communion table, the Lord's Supper that we share, a reminder of your death, your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, Lord. Now we turn our hearts toward you, a hopeful expectation of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, those three gospel accounts are strikingly similar, yet not carbon copies. They contain the same components. But when you get to John chapter 13, you read the story of Jesus' last hours with his disciples on earth, taking his supper with them, but yet we don't see the elements at all, because I believe that John wants to show us the true lamb and not take us into the individual elements. He wants us to see the sacrifice of Christ himself. Let's look at this together in John chapter 13. So instead of bringing us the story of the bread and the wine, he brings us the story of the lamb himself. Now in verse 1 it says, verse chapter 13 of John, "Therefore, the feast of the Passover, which Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended," we just shared a memorial of part of that supper, "the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus," verse 3 says, "knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I believe that John wants to show us the sacrificial lamb serving his loved ones, his brothers and sisters through faith. Jesus Christ had come to earth as servant. There should be no question in our mind. Jesus' purpose was to serve. He served his Father. He served his Father to the exact letter of the law, fulfilled every requirement of the prophecies. The book of Matthew itself uses the word fulfilled 16 times, talking about Jesus and his exact fulfillment of the Father's command from the Old Testament. Fulfilled. And here we see Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, even as he approached the slaughter, serving and loving his that God had given him. Chapter 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The sacrificial lamb, this servant, encourages us to do the same to this body, to those around us, to those in the world that we come across. Brother Mike shared. We had a young girl here that we've been praying for weeks to come out, a friend of Kim's. Praise God for that. We need to serve. We need to get God's word out and put feet and hands to it sometimes. And we see a bit of that. Jesus Christ encourages us to be servants as he served. Surely we can never carry a sacrifice like he did. None of us can bear the sins of another. Only Christ can do that. But yet we can serve. And he tells us why. Because he was the Savior. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. In verse 19, now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you might believe that I am he. You might believe that I am the Messiah. We talked, and I know Pastor shared just recently out of like Matthew 16, where Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus knew that that faith or that word that they had that day would be shaken. And he wanted them to trust. He knew times were coming, dark times were coming. And he wanted to show them this lamb, this sacrificial lamb that he had become, was faithful and true and trustworthy. In Isaiah chapter 43 in the Old Testament, we read about this one to come. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, Isaiah 43:10. And my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. And John, when he wrote his epistle, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 15, you know, chapter 1, it starts, within the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him, this Jesus, him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. How could that be except it was God? Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God in the flesh. This Savior that presented those elements of bread and wine to the apostles and linked them to his sacrifice, his broken body and his shed blood, was Savior of the world, God in the flesh, given his Son to die for our sins. In John chapter 8, see verse 23, 24. He's having an argument with the Pharisees. Starts in verse 13. Verse 23 says, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Has that changed at all today? No. Without Jesus Christ, we will die in our sins. Without faith in Jesus Christ, we will die in our sins. We're all going to die anyway. You choose where you go. Die in your sins or die in God's mercy through his Son. Verse 58, same chapter. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. We've talked about that verse before. When Jesus said, I am, what was he saying? I am God. This is my name. I am God. Before, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Look at the reaction. They took up stones to cast at him. He had just blasphemed. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. His time had not come. They knew what he said. They knew what he meant. They knew he was sincere, and they wanted to stop him. The sacrificial lamb headed to the cross for our sins. If you did the daily bread this morning, you may have noticed a passage in Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to Revelation chapter 1 right now because we see that Passover lamb that had been slain, alive, in heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. You guys all beat me there this time. Revelation chapter 1, 17, 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. That wasn't an angel talking to John. That was the Alpha and the Omega. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus Christ's sacrifice was accepted by the Father, and he was given great reward and authority because of his faithfulness. This sacrificial lamb risen to supremacy in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he gives us a new command. In John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new command I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, Jesus understands our frailty. Our understanding is limited. Our sight is dim. We don't get the message sometimes. So Peter continues. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Peter meant well. He thought he was doing the right thing by speaking up and standing with the Lord, but he had no idea how frail he would be when times got tough. And Jesus Christ knows that. And from that, he brings encouragement. He brings new teaching. He shows us he's the sacrifice, and he gives us assurance. In chapter 14, verse 1, familiar passage, we all know, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Still trying to convince them that he was the Messiah. In case there was any doubt, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Christ has given assurance to his apostles. And again, we see our human nature coming through. Thomas saith unto him in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Assurance. Do you see the promise that Christ gave in that passage? We're looking at the Lamb, the servant, with the teaching of truth, encouraging the apostles, and giving them assurance. The same assurance that we can have today by faith in his word. His word hasn't changed. The truth hasn't changed. Truth cannot change. And he calls us to trust him. Several months ago, I spoke on this passage, Hebrews chapter 12. You are all familiar with it. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, chapter 12, verse 1 says, Seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is our hope. We can look at Jesus, the author, the finisher. He completed the course before him and is set down in a position of victory and strength at the right hand of the Father, the throne of God. Turn back with me to John chapter 21. You may recall this verse because you memorized it a few weeks ago. Whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is him that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Love manifested. By faith, we put our trust in this sacrificial lamb. We follow his teaching as good disciples. We live it out with hands and feet in the world around us, as Brother Mike shared. We keep a clean slate, as Brother Bob prayed in communion. Lord, don't let anything come between us. That's easy to do and hard to clear. But love manifested itself to us because of our love for him. Let's not take this table lightly. Let's not take the elements casually. As we go from this place today, my prayer is that you fully accept the sacrifice that Christ paid on that cross, his broken body, his life gave up so that we might live. Without that sacrifice, we have no life at all. The cleansing of that blood covers us, even in our sinful condition, still makes us presentable. But again, as Brother Bob admonished us, help us to keep short accounts, that we might all better serve our Lord and Master. Just one item to pray before we go. Brother Frank Faria shared with me out on the lawn. Now, where are my teens? Because I was looking at the devotion for this weekend. We talked about prayer and just coming up alongside somebody and just stopping and praying. Brother Frank has a heavy burden with his son Miguel. And his son Miguel is in a detox right now. And they can't contact him. And they can't find out how he's doing. And the place can't even deny or confirm that he's there. But we need to pray for Frank and Connie Faria. And their son, especially Miguel, that's Alex's older brother.
got into drugs, and it's pulled his wife in with him, and they're both in separate facilities cleaning up. Pray that God will work in his heart to change him. I don't know what backgrounds you all have. Maybe some of you folks have been there, and I know that God can use this for his glory, and the victory can be his. But let's just take a moment to pray right now as a church family for our brother Frank and Connie and for Miguel. We pray, Lord, with this body right now, with one heart, Lord, for our loved ones, Frank and Connie Farrier, Lord, and the struggle that they carry right now with their son Miguel, who is in a detox, and also for Miguel's wife, whom we know she's been here and visited. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would use this very dark situation, Lord, for your glory, that you would turn this man's heart around. Miguel, he has strong parents that support him and pray for him, and he knows that, Lord, and he knows where they stand. And we just pray that you would use this as a wake-up call to Miguel and to his wife to turn them around, to bring them back to the Lord. Lord, we know that you're the God of miracles. We thank you for the love of this body for each other. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us servants' hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for the example of our master, the Lord Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, Lord. We thank you for great love for us, Lord, and help us to love one another, as John 13:34 says, Lord. For by this all men will know that we are your disciples. Now bless us as we go from this place. We pray for Pastor and Connie as they come back tomorrow by the airlines, Lord, and for those that are helping bringing them home, Lord, just give them safety. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of this church and for the privilege of having your word. Lord, we pray that you bless us through this day. We ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.